right now. Open them up to the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. John, chapter number 14. John, chapter number 14, verse number 1. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our Father, I pray that you'd guide, direct, and bless us right now as we study your word. I pray that everything else would be put out of our minds, but that we'd concentrate on you, on your word, and what you have for us. Lord, I pray you'd help us to see Jesus Christ today and be drawn closer to you. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We are in the upper room. The disciples are alone with their Lord, and he is preparing them for his departure. In less than 18 hours, he will be nailed to a cross. The Last Supper has been eaten. The Lord's Supper has been instituted. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet, and Judas has left the room and is bartering for the life of the Savior. As Jesus speaks to these 11 who are left, he is comforting them, encouraging them, and teaching them. He's leaving them a job to do, a world to evangelize. And he is giving them the hope and the assurance they need to do that great task. Number one, the promise. The promise. He says in verse number one, let not your heart be troubled. Now, he begins there because as he's going to leave, there's a whole lot in this world that will trouble our hearts. Amen? There's a whole lot that goes on. There's a whole lot that takes place. There's a whole lot that happens that will trouble our hearts if we forget who we truly trust in. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus Christ here says, I go to prepare a place for you. I am going for you. We often forget that part of what he said. He said, I'm going, and we focus on that. Jesus Christ ascended, he went back into heaven, and he is there sitting at the right hand of the Father. But he said, I'm going for you. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. Amen. Jesus Christ is preparing a place for us in heaven. He is there right now, preparing it. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 21. Revelation, chapter number 21. Verse number 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more, there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write. For these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Heaven will be a place of great wonder and splendor. And I like what he says, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more death.
No more tears. There will be no more heartbreak and hurt and tragedy. All put away because we're with our Savior forever. And He has gone to repair that place right now. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to keep that in our minds. This world is not our home. We're going to be with our Savior forever.
He goes on to say in verse number 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent gold, glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. But Jesus Christ said, I will come again. I will come for you. He's going to come a number of years ago, out in California, and they meet every couple of years. A bunch of PhDs and illiterate, educated people got together. And one of the first things they did in their first Jesus seminar was announce to the world that they've read the Bible, and in it nowhere Jesus ever promised to come again. To which I quickly understood they either have a really bad reading comprehension problem, or they're just plain out lying. Okay? Jesus Christ here said, I go, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus Christ is going to come again for us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, he gives us how that will take place. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. He says in verse number 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, even that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. The word asleep there is talking about those who have died having trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They are in heaven with their Savior right now. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those who have died in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Our Savior is coming back. Those who have died in Jesus Christ, their souls God will bring with Him. Jesus Christ will bring with Him. Their bodies will be resurrected unto eternal life. We'll all receive glorified bodies, and we will all be together with our Lord forever. And there is no comfort like that comfort. Amen. Jesus Christ said, I'm going. I'm preparing a place for you, and I'm going to come again for you, that together we might be forever. Amen. Because where I am, he said, I want you to be there also. I'm going to receive you unto myself. Amen. Oh, we're going to want to see our loved ones. We're going to want to see our friends. We're going to want to see those who have passed through the veil and are in eternity right now and spend time with them again. But we are going to want to be with our Savior, the reason that we are allowed to enter into that city. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Savior, died that our sins might be forgiven. Amen. And when we get to heaven, we'll realize it like at no other time. We don't belong there. We're sinners. But because of Jesus Christ, we have been saved. Amen. And we will spend time with our Savior forever. Amen. That's the promise. I'm going for you, but I'm coming back for you. And we will spend eternity with each other forever. Amen. Number two, the provision. The provision. Back in John chapter number 14, verse number 4, he says, "And whither I go, you know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He's just very clearly told them, "I'm going away for you. I'm coming back for you. We'll spend eternity together." But the question arises, and Tom, it brings this question forth. And I, for one, am glad he asked the question, because we get such a great answer. Amen. The question arises, Thomas puts it out, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we possibly know the way? How can it possibly happen?" And the answer ends all speculation forever. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It ends it forever. This is not just some simple article that he uses here in the word "the." He uses an adjective to describe, "I am the one and only way. I am the one and only truth. I am the one and only life. I am the way." Amen. You say, "Pastor, that sure is dogmatic." Yeah, truth is like that. Truth is dogmatic. I remember years ago, I had a math teacher who insisted that 2 plus 2 was 4. So pig-headed. So dogmatic. I went to the bank the other day. I tried to explain to them I had $1 million in the bank. They were pretty dogmatic that I didn't. That bank is so dogmatic. I'll bet you yours is too. They know to every penny what you have in the bank. And they're dogmatic about it. Okay, you try to take out more than that, and they're going to charge you some money. How that works, I don't know. They take what you don't have. But truth is dogmatic. If something is true, that means everything else that is not true is false. Truth is dogmatic. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen. And yes, he is dogmatic. He said, first of all, "I am the way." What's he saying when he mentions that? What is he talking about when he mentions that? He says, "I am the way to heaven." Because Thomas just asked him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we possibly know the way to get there if we don't know?" What's he tell him? "I am the way. I'm going back to my Father's house. And I am the way to get there. There is no other way. I am the way to heaven. I am the way to the Father." He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I am the way to the Father. And I am the way to eternal life. Not a way. Not the best way. The only way. And Jesus Christ said that, which means you cannot join a church and get to heaven, this church or any other church. That means you cannot work to get to heaven, no matter how many good works you might perform. You cannot give your way into heaven, no matter how much money you might have and whom you might give it to. You cannot earn your way into God's grace, into God's favor, into God's heaven in any way, shape, or form, because we are filthy, vile, rotten sinners who deserve hell. Amen. But Jesus Christ died in our place, paying our sin penalty in full, opening the doors to heaven to all who would repent of their sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. And the charge quickly is leveled. "You Baptists think you're the only ones going to heaven." Now, we Baptists know the only way. as Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, Pastor, that's awful narrow-minded. Well, talk to Christ. He said it. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 13. Again, Jesus Christ speaking. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find that. Jesus Christ said, yeah, it's narrow. There's a straight path, a narrow path that you must get on in order to get to heaven. There's a wide one that a lot of people are traveling. There's a wide one that all religions teach and all faiths teach and all people want to believe that you can be good enough to earn your way to heaven. If you will just do enough, and that's what all man-made religions teach, if you will just do enough, whatever their religion prescribes, if you just do enough, you'll get there. And a lot of people are on that road. But Jesus Christ said, no, you can't do a thing. I've already done all that is necessary. You must repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in me to get to heaven. Because I am the way. Amen. He said it. And he means it. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the truth. I've said it already. Truth is pretty dogmatic. Something's either true or it is false. It is not true. There's none of this. Well, what's true for you may not be true for me. And what's true for me may not be true for you. Because after all, I don't believe in gravity. We've lost our minds. Truth is truth. And Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. Amen. He is the truth as opposed to figure and shadow. As opposed to figure and shadow. Go to Hebrews chapter number 9 and I'll explain what I'm talking about there. Hebrews chapter number 9. The book of Hebrews was written, and the author is trying to show that Jesus Christ is superior to everything that took place in the Old Testament. Yeah, they were all God's provision, but they were figures and shadows and types that pointed to the real thing, Jesus Christ. The writer of the book of Hebrews is pointing that out, that Jesus Christ is the truth. The Old Testament types and figures were just simply shadows of that. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jump down to chapter 10, verse number 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. He's saying there that everything that happened in the Old Testament was a shadow, a figure, a picture. Jesus Christ is the reality. Amen. When my daughter was little, I was one of those mean parents. We'd go out and take a walk at night, and the streetlights would shine, and I'd take my shadow, and with my shadow, I'd try to grab her feet, and she'd be dancing all around, jumping, no, 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 and I would tease her to death that way. It was horrible. Then I'd explain, shadows can't hurt you. In the same way, the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying, the Old Testament sacrifices were just a shadow. While that curtain hurt you, ultimately, they can't help you. But the real thing that casts the shadow can. And that real thing is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. What all those sacrifices pointed to was the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins. Amen. Those sacrifices could do nothing without the one made by Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the truth. He is the truth as opposed to falsehood and error. There are all kinds of religions out there, and all kinds of religious thought, and all kinds of religious ideas, and all kinds of religious, nice-sounding words, but it is all error when it doesn't give you the Jesus Christ found in the Word of God. Amen. Because He is the truth. And anything more or less than Jesus Christ is error, and anything more or less than Jesus Christ will take you to hell. Because He is the truth. Amen. And He is the truth as opposed to fallacy and deceit. He is the truth. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse number 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Everything that God did, everything that God planned is all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All of His plans, all of His promises, the entire Word of God, all focuses in like a funnel and points to Jesus Christ because He is the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. He is our Savior. He is the way. He is the truth. Amen. Which brings us to, He is the life. The life. Not the giver of life, though He is that. Not the sustainer of life, though He is that. Not even the guarantor of eternal life, though He is that. He is life. Amen. Without Jesus Christ, the only thing that awaits is eternal death. Without Jesus Christ, the only thing that awaits is separation from God forever in hell. There is but one way to the Father. There is but one truth that matters, and it is in Jesus Christ, for He is the life. Amen. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Verse number 11. And this is the record, meaning here are the facts. This is the facts of the whole thing. That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. God said it's that simple. If you repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have eternal life. If you don't, you don't. It's that simple. When God created Adam, and God did create Adam. When God created Adam, He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. He became an ever-living, never-dying soul. Every person who has ever been born on the face of planet Earth will spend eternity somewhere. Because they've been given by God an ever-living, never-dying soul. And everyone who has ever been born with that soul is en route to hell. Because we are all born sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're on our way to hell by being born into the human race. Born sinners, then we practice sin. Jesus Christ came not to condemn us. We were already condemned, to intervene, to stop, to provide the way, the truth, and the life. And he went to the cross and paid your sin penalty in full. And now he says, whosoever will may come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man gets to heaven but through me. But anyone is welcome. And everyone is welcome. Simply repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, you can know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Amen. And if you're already saved, today you can understand you don't deserve heaven, but Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you so much for this opportunity that we've had to look at your words. And Lord, you said these things very clearly. We can read them. We can understand them. You meant nothing else by them but what you said. Lord, I pray we'd understand you are the way, the truth, the life. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other hope. There is no other plan. I pray that we would embrace that completely. That those of us who are saved might share that with others around us. That anyone in our midst who is unsaved would understand it today. And come to know you as their personal Savior today. Lord, work in every heart. Show them how much you love them. Because you commended your love to them while they were yet sinners. All of us. Lord, work. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. You say, Pastor, I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I've turned to Him from sin. I know that I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven because I know that Jesus Christ is mine. You're saved and you know it. Put your hand up as a testimony to that fact. You're saved and you know it. Amen. God bless you. That's great. Amen. You can put your hands down. Amen. 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 Christian, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You've received Him as your personal Savior. There are others who need to hear that message. There are others who need to know that truth. That what they're striving for won't save them. What they're into won't save them. What they're planning on doing won't save them. Only Jesus Christ can save them. And it is up to us to tell them. The Great Commission was handed down to us. Now it's our turn to share it with others. You say, Pastor, God has spoken to me. I need to live and speak that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Pastor, God's spoken to me. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Pastor, I don't even know that I'm saved. I don't know I'm going to heaven. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. Pastor, I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. I don't know. I'm not sure. Amen. God bless you. Anyone else, just put your hand up, put it back down. This question cannot wait. It is too important. Your eternal soul hangs in the balance. None of us have been promised tomorrow. Pastor, I don't know. I'm not sure. Just put your hand up, put it back down. I want to pray for you. My praying for you won't save you. But you're acknowledging, Pastor, I've got a need. Would you pray for me? And I will. We love you here, but Christ loves you. He died in your place, taking your sin upon Himself that you might be saved. Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. Our Father, thank you for your love toward us. Thank you that you willingly laid your life down that we might be saved. We do not deserve that kind of love. We do not deserve your forgiveness. But you are merciful, gracious. And yet your justice was perfectly carried out because our sin penalty was paid for in full in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that he is not a dead Savior. He is a alive, risen, victorious, triumphant Savior. And you're coming back for us one day. Thank you. I pray that for everyone in this room this morning, they would understand that truth and make sure that you're coming back for them by putting their faith and trust in you. Bless. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Grab a hymn book right in front of you. Let's all stand. We're to sing page 390. 390. If God has spoken to your heart, if there's a decision that he wants you to make, right now make that decision. You can make it where you're standing. You can walk down to the front and kneel and pour your heart out to God. If you need to be saved, you come to the front. I'll have someone take a Bible and show you how you can know that you're saved. How you can know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. As we sing verse number one, you need to speak to me. I'll be waiting for you right down front. You come right now on verse number one.